So I'm a little different tonight. As you know, you know how things normally go here. I was thinking about some things and pull some things together that, I don't know, this is more about just kind of savoring the Lord. We talked this morning about some of the attributes of God in some ways there in Sunday school. And like Bryce mentioned this morning, there's an element of speculation because on one hand, Bible says the Lord is something or is like something. But, you know, there are ways that some of that doesn't follow all the way through. Or at least it boggles our imagination. After all, if you're saved, you're part of the bride of Christ, even if you are a 250-pound bald-headed guy, which is kind of mind-boggling, you know, to think about how that's going to work. But, you know, that's just it, is the Lord gives you these pictures, these snapshots of things. And sometimes, you know, you can carry them all the way through, and sometimes you can't. But let me take you to your Bible tonight, to John chapter 1. It may take a minute to get into this. But right away, you'll see where we're headed. Like I said, this is a little bit about savoring the Lord tonight and just thinking about some things. Maybe put some things in your mind. You'll probably think of some things I didn't think of, and you know, pull some things together maybe in type and all that. But in the first epistle of John, it says in verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And that'll be what we talk about. We're going to talk about the fact that God is light. But I feel compelled to say something first, though. Like I said, our relationship with God is many things. It's typified as many things. I mean, we are the bride of Christ. We're also his friends. We're also soldiers of the Lord. We're also his sheep. By the time you add all that up, trying to put the whole picture together is a little different. And so the Lord's like that too. And I'm going to preach tonight for a while and pull together some stuff, if I can, if I can keep my head together on it. That God is light, but to understand that God is also some other things. For instance, if you will, back in verse 1, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life, capital W word, we know that. We know the Lord is the word of God, and we know that the Lord is light. How those things mix is kind of an interesting thing to think about. And I don't know how to pull it all together exactly. I know that for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, bear witness, showing to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, so far two things, although we're talking about God is light here tonight. He's also the Word of God, you know that. Look back in John, the actual Gospel of John, John 1. And most everybody here can start that one off just fine. But notice, once again, the emphasis on the Word. And you'll see where this is going in just a second. We started with God is light. That's going to be the main subject tonight. But still, in the beginning, verse 1, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was not a God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, so from the very beginning, whenever the beginning was, the Word was with God. He was there in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, that is, by the Word. We know that Jesus Christ was the Creator. We know that in Genesis, God created, but we know that Jesus Christ was the one that upholds all things by the Word of His power, and He was the one that did it. He was the creative element. All things are made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now there's light again. That's why I came here. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Notice capital W, light. God is light. Jesus Christ is light. And so he says, I'm the light of the world. We also know that he was the Word of God. So you get those three things together. And tell me how that works together. On one hand, God is light. On another hand, God is the Word. On the other hand, God is life and light. Look in verse 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John wasn't the light. Jesus Christ was the light. Now again, bear with me just as I pull a couple things together here real fast. Look in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. God is light. God is the Word. In Him is life. And in Genesis chapter 1, once again, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Oh, the darkness was already there at this juncture, right? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So there's light. There's light right at that moment. But the sun and the moon didn't show up in the sky until the fourth day. So part of what we're going to juggle here tonight is, okay, God is light, but maybe God is not the physical, physical in the sense of physics, the light that we know. There's going to be a spiritual light as well as what science studies. So we're juggling sometimes what might be somewhat apples and oranges together with this, right? Nevertheless, there are things to learn. Now, just one more thing, and I didn't feel right without doing this. Look in John 4. John 4. God is light. God is the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word. Jesus Christ is light. But then there's something else important that God is. In John chapter 4, you know this as well, John 4:24. God is a spirit. Okay, now God is light. I get some things with that. We'll talk about it in a second. There's power in that. There's illumination in that. God is spirit. God is a spirit. That will be the personhood of God, right? Now, how light and spirit work together, I'm not sure that I'm not the guy to solve that. I'm not sure. I may imply some things tonight and just take some things with a grain of salt. Before you do, John 6. Now, God is a spirit. Is that right? There's an interesting thing about that since we're juggling light, word, and the Spirit. Notice John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And so God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit plainly comes and inhabits, and He is also the Spirit of Christ. But it also says, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit. Now, that doesn't have a lot to do with light other than the fact that thy word giveth light. So again, how all that ties together, I'm not quite sure. Now the opposite of light, we're going to preach on God is light tonight. Now the opposite of light is darkness. You saw in Genesis chapter 1, I think verse 3, that the darkness was already here when God addressed that matter in John 1:3, or Genesis 1:3. Darkness is already there. There's a long story behind that. I'm not going to go to that tonight. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. There's a prince of darkness. There's a king of darkness. And Ephesians chapter 6, and then we're not going to be turning the rest of the night here. Just I had to make you work for a little while anyway. Verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The rulers of the darkness of this world. This world is dark. And I didn't read it here, but men love darkness rather than light. Look at Colossians chapter 1. When you got saved, there's something you got saved from. Colossians 1. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us, Jesus Christ hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, God is light, but this world is in darkness. And this world has a god, small g god. That god is the devil. And he magnifies and specializes in darkness. It's interesting when we start talking about some of this, because the Bible says, I saw Satan as lightning fall. Whatever else is the case, lightning is a powerful thing. Now, how all that fits here. I just wanted to talk to you for a little while about the fact that 1 John 1:5 says that God is light. I did all that to show that God is also some other things. And you try to pull that picture together, and the edges don't fit real well in my mind. I'm not sure quite how they cleave together. But the nature of light, and again, we're talking here, what I'll be talking about tonight is what we would call physical light, I guess, in the sense of physics. Scientists study, and God is maybe physical light in part, but I'm not suggesting for a moment that God is just physical light. We know there's such a thing as spiritual light, just like there's spiritual darkness, but it says God's light. So if you can go learn some things about light, you may be able to learn some things about your Savior. And so that's what I was trying to do tonight. And light is perhaps one of the most mysterious things around. We spoke this morning a minute about gravity, and that's pretty weird, and I'm not quite sure that I buy the sentiment or the theory that it's all about a huge mass having a pull on a smaller mass. I'm just not sure that I buy that. I'm not sure that that makes sense to me. It doesn't have to. Whatever's the case, when you jump off the barn, you get sucked down to the ground pretty fast. So you just better obey the laws of it. But there's still an awful lot unknown, or is vague at best, and I can't promise you everything I'm going to say tonight is right, because I'm basing some of it on what men say, and I'm certain that men have some things wrong. One thing you can say for sure, light is real. Now, God is light, and we're talking here about physical light. God is spiritual light. He may be other things as well. I'm not exactly sure where something physical in the sense of physics in a material temporal world, I'm not sure where things rub together and how that works, because I know that spirit is real too. And if God is light, I'm not sure exactly where spiritual light stops and physical light starts. If you have a bigger brain than mine with more wattage, you might be able to figure something out there, but I've never quite been able to figure it out. But we know it's real. It's real, but it's mysterious. We have a pretty good idea of what water is. Water is H2O. It's two parts hydrogen to one part oxygen. And just like we know the chemical makeup of carbon or hydrogen or anything else, we know that those are real. Those are tangible. You can touch water. Electricity is real. It's a little more mysterious, but that has to do with electrons. That has to do with charge. But if you say that, okay, electricity is electrons moving through a wire or whatever, what is light? How would you even say what light was? Light's mysterious. It's nothing you can feel, right? You can see it, and you can feel the result of it on your skin if you're standing out in the sun, but it's almost spiritual. Now, I'm not saying it's spiritual. I'm not saying that God is physical light. I'm just saying that if the Bible says God is light, it's worth studying light a little bit to see if you can learn something about your Savior. So there's that. Now, I have on the board here some stuff. And this is the supposed, as men understand it, range of light. They say that the sun puts off all of these types of light. And this is actually an electromagnetic thing. Now, I'm not saying God is electromagnetic. I'm saying that the light that we understand, if Maxwell was right, I'll say more about it in a second. If Maxwell was right, then light is an electromagnetic force. And we really, when it comes to light, we only see a little bit of it. From about a range of 380 nanometers to about 750 nanometers. That's what we see. This chart runs from this end is really long waves and really infrequent waves. In other words, it goes wah, 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 like that. That means that red, this is the visible light spectrum, this is what you see in a rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Okay? And that goes from longer waves to shorter waves. We see in a range from about 380 to 750. That's all we see. That's all we see. Now, starting back on this end, there's radio waves. And those waves can be as long, from a millimeter long to 100 kilometers long. Back in the old days when, I don't know how they do it now, but with infrequent radio waves, submarines used to come out, put out a long towed antenna behind them for security's sake to receive messages from, you know, from command. Problem is they had to stay on the surface for a long time, but by that I mean minutes, in order to receive a simple short message because the radio waves were so long. Now, when you get down to microwaves, well, you're all familiar with a microwave, whether you know it or not. I mean, it's micro just in the sense that it's shorter than these. Those are much, much shorter than a microwave. A microwave may be a millimeter long to a meter long. So anywhere from like that to this long. And you know what that does? I mean, that's how you cook, you warm up your hamburger or something like that. It's also the way, I mean, it's a line of sight. That's how they communicate ship to ship sometimes. A lot of the communication satellites, because they're so high, they fire a microwave down to communicate with a computer system or something like that. And the thing about a microwave, these waves are so long that when they pass through a medium or objects, they don't have much effect on it. But a microwave is just the right length that, I mean, if you were able to put your hand in your microwave, you wouldn't be there for long. Because the microwave heats up the water in the flesh. It heats up the water in your food. That's how your food gets hot in a microwave. If you were in front of a really intense microwave transmitter, even a communication satellite or a transmitter or something like that, you could get cooked because it heats up the water in your body. Now, moving down from that, something slightly shorter is infrared. If you were able to see infrared, you'd be looking here and we'd be all glowing because we're all warm and it sees heat. But you can't see infrared. You have to have a special, you know, set of goggles or binoculars or whatever for that. So then you have visible. You get down to ultraviolet light. And then you get down to X-rays. X-rays are really short. They're 0.01 to 10 nanometers. Now, a nanometer is 1 meter with the decimal point moved back. Nine places. So a nanometer is about that long. If you squeeze your fingers together as hard as you can squeeze, there's probably still at least 1 nanometer between them. So it's pretty short. And the X-ray, this starts getting dangerous down here. Now look, you can cook yourself up here. You can't see that wave that cooks you, but you'll know you're cooking. Guys, you start getting hot pretty fast. Down here, that's the reason if you take an X-ray, they'll put lead over certain parts of your body so you don't mess with your body. And the reason that is because what's produced by short waves, if I can find the word here, is an ionizing radiation. Up here, it's just heating the water in your body. Down there, it's actually changing the molecular structure of the atoms in your body. And so it's actually changing the cells. And so that's why they put lead over you to protect you. Now, if you get all the way down to something called a gamma radiation, again, you're going from long to really short. You're going here from this big, long, sweeping wave that goes really slow all the way down there to these little, tiny, short, ultra-short waves that go like that because they're so fast. And these are the ones that will really kill you. Because gamma radiation is put out by the sun at the center of its core. That's why you can get radiation poisoning if you spend too much time around plutonium or nuclear reactors, okay? You say, what's the point to all that? Well, this is how much you can see. But if there's any way that that represents light, then there's an awful lot you can't see. And if God is light, He's going to let you see some things. But there's an awful lot that you're not going to be able to see. And frankly, there's a good bit of what you can't see that'll kill you. There's a lot that you can't see that's dangerous. And so He tells you, walk by faith and not by sight. If you're playing games and all you want to do is deal with this, well, you're just being plain silly, if not stupid. Because up here, these will kill you. And down there, those will certainly kill you. And those kill you ugly down there. I mean, these don't kill you pretty up here, I guess. You boil yourself from the inside out. But that down there poisons your cells themselves. And you can wind up with, you know, three heads on your shoulders or something like that. But that's what I mean. Those things. Now, invisible light, it's interesting that there are seven colors recognized. Now, it's all a spectrum. You know, it fades. If you've ever seen a color spectrum, it fades slowly from one to another. But there are seven recognizable colors in a rainbow. And that's what you see. The reason that you see somebody, Anna has a red sweater on, or something like red from here, the reason that sweater's red is because it absorbs all the other colors in light. And all that's reflected is the red. That's why you see red. And the indication there is that God is light. And so you have a Bible. And so God casts light on your Bible and through your Bible. And one time you may see one thing, and then one time you see another, because it's multi-layered. There's more than one color there. So that's why sometimes you can read through a book and say, I never saw it that way before. It's the living Word, but it's also written by a God who's light. And as light, He's multidimensional. And as light, He has more than one color. And He may choose to show you one color or some combination of colors at one point and show you another one at another point. But that's the reason you see color. All the rest of that spectrum on each side of visible light is light as well. But some of that light is really dangerous. I'm not sure exactly where the devil fits in on that. What we see with our eyes, we just see this as light. Now, that made me wonder about a verse. If you will, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 18. I've often wondered about these passages, and it's just not just this one. In various places, the Bible says that God, in so many words, shrouds Himself in darkness. Psalm 18 and verse 11, He made darkness His secret place. Well, if God is light, how does He make darkness His secret place? His pavilion round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Well, one thing you could see here is if this is all we see, then what we would see on each side would be darkness. So while there's a lot more to God than what you see, maybe He's shrouded that way in darkness. But the important thing is all this other stuff, some of it can't, but some of it can kill you. And so you need to know it's there. Like I said, only a tiny fraction's visible. There's a lot you can't see. There's a lot He has to tell you that you will never be able to verify because you can't see it and you can't test it in a laboratory. And so in the end, you wind up having to trust God is light, but His Word is what gives you the insight. And if you don't trust His Word, then you don't trust God. You know, the day when my dad could go and borrow money at a bank for a piece of equipment, major piece of farm equipment. And you know, he'd shake hands on it and the paperwork would come later. But he's already got the money in his pocket. Well, they trusted him for his word. Nowadays, people don't trust God for his. That's a real shame. That's a real shame. It's not right. And especially when you have the faithful and true witness, the God that never lied to anybody at any time, any place. Now, there's this as well. It's interesting when you look at that this continuum. You go from long waves to short waves. You go from very infrequent waves to very frequent waves. The gamma radiation is just very, very short waves. The shorter the wavelength, the more energy there is. What happens in the sun itself, the actual process of making the energy and light happens down here. It's gamma radiation. It's the radiation we think of when we think of nuclear reactors. There's lots of power in there. Now, it's interesting because down where the wavelength is shorter, there's more energy. There's more power. And please, again, I'm stopping short. Do not go away from here saying, Brother Stevens said that God is energy. No, I didn't say that. That sounds New Age. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying God is light, and this is what we somewhat know scientifically of what light is and how it works, and we're just drawing some parallels, that's all. I'm not saying that God is the light that you see, because he's plainly a lot more. But the shorter the wavelength, the more the energy. It's very interesting that in spite of what everybody says, in spite of the continuing complaining and just griping and moaning and so on about it, the King James Bible is easier to read by the Fleisch Kincaid Report than are the new versions. Well, I just can't understand. You put an EST on the end of a word and you still can't understand. Please. What part of thou shalt not kill don't you understand? Oh, it's the thou. You just don't know what that means. I can't obey the verse. I don't know what it means. It's stupid. I don't know if you know it or not, but one of the ways that they gauge whether somebody, what the reading level of something is by the number of single syllable words. For instance, let there be light, all one syllable words. I am he. What part of that don't you understand? I am that I am. What part of that don't you understand? John 3:16, 19 of the 25 words are one-syllable words. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. There are 17 words. 16 of the 17 words are one syllable. The only multi-syllable word is beginning. Do you understand beginning? What part of the verse don't you understand? Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. 15 of the 17 words are one-syllable words. What part don't you understand? It's rather silly. Point is, there is power beyond what you can see, and that's why we walk by faith, not by sight. That's why the Lord's not going to show you stuff with your eyes. He wants you to hear. Because it's His Word. And remember that it says that that Word is, the words that I speak into you are spirit. Now again, I'm not sure how I can tie spirit in with light. I'm not sure that I can. I don't understand that interaction. But I understand that both those things are God. I understand that spirit makes Him a person because I have a spirit. And I just understand that that's where the power comes from. Now I don't know if you know it or not, but when we think about sails, we think about wind. And it's interesting that even with a beam of light, when a beam of light strikes something, there actually is a force. Now, it's teensy-weensy, tiny-whiny. I grant you that. I don't even know the terminology for the amount of force it is, but it's led folks that think they're going to travel through space very much to think up the idea of space sails. Because they actually, the light does actually have enough force in a vacuum with enough surface area to push something along at a relatively decent speed, at least theoretically. But I'm simply trying to get you to see that there's power there's power in light. And God is light. God is light. Now, there's a guy named James Clerk Maxwell. He was a Scot in around 1831. He was home educated till he was 16. Then went to Edinburgh and Cambridge. He was a Christian, a brilliant mathematician, and he worked on electricity and magnetism. And there were all kinds of theories about what light was. And among other things, and I'm not saying that, you know, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, but it still holds pretty good to this day. He said, I don't know if you know this or not, sound doesn't travel in a vacuum. You know, when you watch Star Wars and the big ship comes by going, it didn't really, because there's no sound in space. Sound has to have a medium to travel in. Now, light travels in a vacuum. It travels all the way from the sun to us all the time in a vacuum. And so there must be something different about the wave of sound versus light. And what Maxwell came up with is he figured out, and maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, that the way light travels through a vacuum is it's not just a wave by itself, it's actually an electromagnetic wave, EM for short. And so one of these planes, the horizontal plane, is, I hope it looks horizontal to you, I hope you see two planes that are like that, okay? But the horizontal plane is electrical plane, and the vertical plane is the magnetic plane, and that's what light is. Now, the interesting thing about that is if it were possible to see light at this level coming at you, the head-on view would be what? So I guess for a JW that believes that Jesus Christ was crucified on a pole, I guess there's a problem. Because according to Maxwell's theory, it's an electromagnetic wave, and if you were able to see it at that level coming at you, it comes at you as a cross. And so, where'd you get light from? You got light when you went to the cross. And if you didn't go to the cross, you got a problem. You're still blind as a bat, right? And so we turn to the Holy Spirit, we turn to God, the Holy Spirit, we have access to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our one mediator, and through the Holy Spirit we get understanding, and you have light. God is light. Now there may be some other things, there may be something much more marvelous that I haven't thought of. There may be some things that somebody else can discover that I don't know nothing about. But so far, God is light works for me. We walk by faith and not by sight. I see just a tiny, teensy-weensy little bit. It's a very small portion of that spectrum. But we walk by faith and not by sight. There's still a lot more out there you can't see that you have to be warned of and that you have to know about. If you don't know about it, it's going to kill you. It's going to kill you. All right? Now, light travels at 186,000 miles per second in a vacuum. It actually slows down in a medium like air or water or something like that. Sound actually speeds up in a medium like water. I don't know how sound and light fit together. I don't know how God can be both and how it works like that. I just know that words, when spoken, make sounds. And I know that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so whatever works for me, I don't know how it works for you, it works for me. God is light and God is a spirit and God is the Word of God. Now, it's kind of interesting. Again, I don't know how far to take all this, but if light works on an electromagnetic level, physically, now I don't know that this is true spiritually at all. I'm not trying to say that. It's interesting that every one of us here is made up of anywhere from a baby can be as much as 85% water as far as a molecular makeup physically. Most adults range between 55% to 75%. If you're really well hydrated, you're 75%. If you're really fat, you have less water content. I just thought you'd like to know. But anyway, average adult is probably around 65% water. Now, it's kind of interesting that because if light, physical light does, if that works on an electromagnetic plane, it's interesting that water, and I don't have room to do it there, but it's interesting that water is made up of an oxygen atom and then two hydrogen atoms. And because there are two hydrogens, and that it's a polar molecule, because this is the plus side, this is the minus side, and the two hydrogens are always on one side of the oxygen. And so if you were to fit a bunch of, when you put a bunch of water together, they fit together, you know, something like this. And then, so that's a drop of water for you. If you didn't know that, you can thank me later. And the reason that water on a flat surface, if it gets close enough together, it kind of poops together and makes a drop, is because it's a polar molecule. Now, it means that it has a slightly electrical charge, more than the positive charge on one side. Now, I don't know exactly all that means, but my body is made up of 65 or 70% water. And if that's the case, and if God, if what follows that light is in part an electromagnetic force, it implies that that's one of the reasons perhaps that even God could work on your mind and heart. Because after all, your brain works by, physically speaking, works by neurotransmitters. I know that's not all there is to it. I know there's a spiritual aspect, but I mean, there are neurotransmitters that transmit little electrical impulses in your brain because your brain is mostly water, just like the rest of your body. And if, you know, if all things being equal, I don't know how far to take it, if God is light and light is an electromagnetic force, at least physically, then maybe you have a little bit of insight as to what the Lord's doing and how the Lord could affect your heart and mind. Now, I don't know if you... Well, let me do this first. I think rainbows are cool. I mean, not rainbows, but rainbows. Not fairy rainbows, but... You know how a rainbow works? You have a water molecule. And I better make a bigger water molecule. This is a really big molecule of water. Okay? Light comes into the water molecule like this. And when it hits the surface, it refracts just a little bit. Just slightly offline. I don't know if you can see it from there, because my drawing is very exact. And then, in fact, maybe I should do this. I should probably start higher. It refracts just a little bit. Oh, I wound up in the same place. Whatever. And then it reflects off the back of the water molecule like this. And then when it comes out of the water, it refracts slightly again, only this time it's split into seven colors. The interesting thing about it is that, well, for instance, you being 65% water and God being light, and thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, when the water comes out, when the light comes out of the water molecule, having refracted twice and having reflected once, you come out seeing those seven colors of the rainbow. Interestingly, this angle, and you're standing over here, the sun's coming from behind you, and then you're standing here and you're seeing this. The angle from where the sun enters the droplet to where it comes out is always 42 degrees. You ain't seeing no rainbow at any other degree. Seven colors, right? It's a number of completion. It reflects God. Seven times six is 42. Six is a number of man. I think that's cool. I think it's cool that you ain't going to see no rainbow if you can't get 42 degrees. That's the angle that you see it. Now, that means that here you are, you're yourself water. You were born the first time in a water birth. Your mother birthed you. Her water broke. It was your natural birth. And the Lord comes in and shines into your water. And if it comes out right and you're saved and you are malleable, then you see color. When that word comes through, you see some things that you wouldn't see any otherwise. You see things after you're saved that you would never see otherwise. Sometimes water is judgment. Water can be just us, our water birth, but sometimes water is judgment. For instance, in Noah's day, God judged the earth by water. That's what a baptism represents. Somebody is buried with Christ into death under the curse, dead, and then raised to walk in newness of life. It's a type of death. It's a type of judgment. So you go through something kind of tough in life, and you've been sick for a while and all those things, and prayed, and because of it got closer to God and all those things, and then so the Lord shines through that judgment, and there's a refraction, and you see some things with the light coming out that you never would have seen coming with it going in. That's the reason you go through things. That's the reason things happen sometimes the way they do. Water can also be the Word of God. I realize that light's the Word of God, but the Word of God can also be water in the Word of God. And so you're looking into the Word of God, and the Lord shines light through there. And if you're in the right place, now again, you have to be in the right place. You have to be, if the sun's shining from behind you, then wherever you see the rainbow, that angle is 42 degrees. You have to be in the right place to see it. If you're at the wrong angle, it's not good. And so you need to think about where you are. Where do you go to hear from God? A lot of folks think they can find it on a hunting stand as much as somewhere else. That's not true. That's not true. You get it here in the Word of God. Some people think that you can go party down and live freely and still have Jesus in your heart and all those things, and you'll get as much light. You won't get as much light. You say, how do you know? Because I've proven it. I lived it. I know what it is as a Christian to walk in darkness because I wasn't in the right place. And so if you're not careful, if you're not in the right place, you're not at the right angle, you're not in the right frame of mind when God uses His light to shine through your judgment, and so you wind up bitter. I know a couple of really bitter people right now. There's one guy that he needs help and all those things, but I have a really tough time calling him. Because, I mean, as soon as I call him, he pukes in my ear. He's so raunchily bitter. If you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to see all that you should. Because the Lord, the light, shines through the Word, the water of life, the water of God, and you see something come out that you never saw coming in. I don't have a lot more for you. I don't know if you ever, you know, we talked, that's reflection and refraction. I started to do this tonight and decided I didn't want to have somebody kick over the water pot. But you take a saucepan and put a quarter in the bottom of it, and then move the saucepan as far away from you so that you don't see the quarter anymore. It's hidden behind the lip of it. The quarter's sitting in the bottom of the saucepan. And so you're sitting there with your head in the exact position. You're looking down in the saucepan. You can't see the quarter because it's hidden. If you pour that saucepan full of water, it takes about 6 inches of water. You can see the quarter with just sitting in the very same position. That's refraction. Now, folks, that means that you can see more looking through the water than you can see any other way. See, folks, God is light, and His Word is a type of the water of life. It's also light itself. Being saved, you being water yourself, you being saved water. You were born again not once but twice. You're born not once but twice. You're born again. You should be able to see more than somebody else can see because God's showing you. You know, we used to take we'd go up to Olson's cabins, and the dog, there's little fish running around, you know, out there. Well, they're actually swimming. And so I just remember Itai, and that was a dog. That was two dogs ago. But he'd get out there all day long and stand belly deep in the water and fish. And, I mean, all day long, he's jabbing at fish that are at his feet, and he never got a single one. And there's a reason why. And the reason why is that if you're standing above the water, and let's just say you're spear fishing, and you have a spear, if you jab for the image of the fish, you're going to overshoot the fish every time. Because the fish is nearer to you. The fish is nearer to you than it looks. So you look through the Word of God, and I assure you, there's some things nearer to you than you realize. You're closer prophetically to the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ probably than you realize. Certainly more than you ever would have realized naturally. The fact of the matter is, God is much closer to be had than you might have realized just as a natural man. Just going through life, working like a dog and paying bills and all those things, if you're not spending time in the Word of God looking through the water of life, you don't realize that it's actually much closer than it looks. Men have a tendency to shove the things of the Lord off far. You know, death and judgment and Jesus coming again. It couldn't possibly happen today until it does. One of the things that the Bible makes plain to you is that it could happen any time. It's much nearer than you think. And, you know, just looking into a bucket of water with a, you know, fish in the bottom or with a quarter in the bottom of a saucepan, you'll look in it and you'll see it, and you can see more than you would have seen, but it's nearer than it looks. So I don't know, Father, folks, there's an awful lot of other stuff here that I don't have together. I know we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face, you know, you look out at the right time of day, if it starts getting dusk outside and it's light in here, you'll not only see a little bit of refracted stuff from outside the building, you probably see a car or something out there, but you also see a reflected image of what's going on in here. Well, that's kind of like what we're looking through right now. We see through a glass darkly. We see a lot of stuff about us. The Word is a mirror. It shows us. But you also see through that glass, and it's not always the clearest thing in the world, but you do see what's ahead. And like I said, old Itai fishing, that fish is nearer than you know. You should be jabbing closer to yourself, but instead you're looking at it, and you're jabbing out there. But God is light, and I hope this can be a help to you. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father,